Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome to the show. This week, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, focusing on the Defense Department and mobile computing. For the first part of the show, my guest is Rob Anderson, the Chief of Vision and Strategy Division in the Marine Corps' Command, Control, Communications, and Computers, or C4 office.
The Marine Corps is going down a path around mobility that I think is not necessarily seen throughout government. In many ways, it's a BYOD strategy, which is surprising in government, especially in the Defense Department. Let's talk a little bit about your vision, I guess, around the future, the potential BYOD environment.
The term BYOD has negative security connotations to it, and it's not viewed on very well within our leadership. So you really need to be able to dispel that concern. And the issue is a personally owned corporate enabled environment, which is the inverse of a corporate owned personally enabled environment. So the Air Force has actually implemented a COPE environment with their iPad rollout from several months ago. The personally owned corporate enabled environment is that you can have a personal device, but there's an organizational instance or an organizational personality that resides in the phone that the organization, i.e. the Marine Corps, would manage. And by doing that, you eliminate some of the legal concerns that our council has, primarily the violation of the Fourth and Fifth Amendment of the Constitution. We have to be able to prove without a shadow of doubt that the Marine Corps cannot be held liable by the invasion of privacy having the government influence or affect their employees in such a negative way.
So in some ways, what you're trying to do is say to the Marine Corps civilians and Marines, bring your own device, but to do that, here's the parameters that you have to work within.
There's the parameters that we have to have by bringing a device into the network, and those are focused on the security of the data while the data is at rest and while the data is in transit. And we also have to include the security of the container itself. So these solutions that we're working with the carriers on are all being penetration tested. And once those tests are validated and we can prove to the lawyers that these technical solutions actually protect the rights of the individual, then it's a matter of telling everybody and saying, this is our way forward on how we can begin saving money, beginning, you know, IT efficiencies, great big buzzword, right? Well, what are we doing to achieve those IT efficiencies? And if we can just take a piece of the mobile segment of our IT infrastructure and begin saving money within the mobile segment of that, then that's the starting point. And a personally owned corporate enabled environment, I believe, is the framework required to do so.
You talked about efficiency, saving money. You also talked about the solutions. So let me start with the solutions. What's out there that at least is of interest?
Focused on commercial mobile devices, or are we focused on laptops?
How about yes to both? Let's start with the idea of commercial mobile devices, the BYOD piece of that. What solutions are you guys looking at that would meet these legal and security concerns?
The solutions for commercial mobile device are focused around two different approaches. One is the Hypervisor One technology, which Viasat and Sprint are providing us 7 devices to test. Those devices are multi-personality, truly segmented operating systems that will ensure the integrity of a personal side and organizational side.
So if something happens to that device, you could wipe clean the business side, but the personal side becomes unaffected.
Absolutely. That's one of the parameters. You have to maintain the security of the data, right? So if something was compromised or if that individual did something really stupid on the organizational side of the phone, then we would be able to remotely wipe that device and never touch the personal side of the phone. So that's the Sprint Viasat solution. The other solutions we have are from Verizon and AT&T. And Verizon and AT&T are providing a sandbox solution. Verizon's providing Divide, and AT&T is providing us Toggle. Now, those are sandbox solutions that are AES 256-bit encrypted, FIPS 140 TAC2 validated containers. Now, a lot of people think have stipulated that you can hack these sandboxes, and that's part of our penetration testing. So as we move into our beta test, and we have the devices to test, the penetration testing, the security, the data at rest, and so forth, the solution that's secure is the one that's going to go forward, right? So if all three solutions work completely, and we've deemed that the risk is acceptable, i.e., this is on an unclassified network. This is sensitive but unclassified for official use only work. And we satisfy the risk and mitigate that risk, then that's the move that we would go forward with commercial mobile devices. But the key is, and even those two sandbox containers, you can remotely wipe those things. So, for example, this works on iOS and Android platforms. If I root that device, that container, especially with an iOS, that container becomes invalid and void. You can't get into the container. Now, you may be able to do some kind of RAM dump after the device has been rooted, but those are issues, again, we have to look at. And what's really in particular pertaining to the RAM dump and the memory associated to the device is that, what's the use case for that? Is it espionage, right? I mean, are they trying to gain access to the network so they're actually doing things that are really illegal and not just violating the user agreement and terms and conditions? So we need to nug down onto those use cases pertaining to that. What's the intent of the individual? What are we trying to protect against? Is it the insider threat? And if that insider threat is the case, then how would we use that data to actually capture that guy? This could have another completely different spin on the devices pertaining to just that organizational instance and the vulnerabilities of it.
So you talked about three different solutions. You said they're in beta stages. What's the plans?
The plan is to run into a beta. Now, the beta has moved right by about 10 months. And the intent of the beta is to prove, can we validate data is secure in transit and is secure at rest? Once we've validated that within the beta pilot, and there's 20 users that get these devices, and it's the user experience on these devices. So we'll capture that data. We'll capture the data on the organizational containers, how well they work, what were the help desk interactions, was it as easy as the individual who's really doing something at home on his own device? That organizational instance is completely managed by us. Those individuals, essentially, they get a BlackBerry today. We want you to try this one. So we've already identified those 20 individuals that'll turn in their current device and use these test devices for 4 months. And once that testing is done, we make an assessment on the technology, we make an assessment on the security, and then we roll into a pilot, which would only be 500 users.
You said it's moved right 10 months, meaning you're 10 months away from launching that beta, or what?
We actually tried to get this started last summer, and because of contracting officers and the concern they have pertaining to the bailment agreements that are being provided to Sprint, Verizon, and AT&T, it's actually slid 10 months because of that. So I'm actually supposed to get those bailment agreements on Monday, and I will then hand carry them to our carrier partners and say, let's get those devices. Our carrier partners have had these devices for us for months.
Now, there's a second set of solutions around laptops, because obviously laptops have been around for a while, but the same issue applies to laptops. If I could bring my own laptop, then I could also save the Marine Corps money. Talk a little bit about the solution around laptops.
Today, the Marine Corps owns 150,000 enterprise client access licenses of Microsoft operating systems. Those operating systems, especially Windows 8, has an enterprise to-go solution set that can actually be placed upon a certified USB stick. So if we already own the software and we can stick that USB stick with all the security parameters already required, then that means that an individual's laptop now is strictly a vessel. It's a transport layer. So when I come to work, I bring my own laptop in, I plug it into my Ethernet port on the network. When I boot, it goes through the TPM chipset validation, shows it hasn't been hacked, we move into our USB port. In order to get into the USB operating system, we have to use our CAT card to get into the STIGged OS that we have. And now I'm working in a completely constrained environment like I have on my government laptop today, except I'm on a government-provided USB stick. The key to this whole solution of a personally owned instance is that the government has to provide the individual something. So in the commercial mobile device area, we are providing them the management of the organizational container. In the future, once we've proved that all this really works and we've mitigated our council's concerns pertaining to the liability of the Marine Corps, I think that this can be applied to N-terminal user devices. It's just a matter of being able to change culture, because the STIGged USB device is no different than the STIGged outdated operating system I'm running today on my desk. I'm not saying it's outdated. We're running Windows 7 as our operating system. But because we've got these baseline investments already within the Windows, the Microsoft environment, we have what's known as software assurance. So we can migrate to the next OS when it's released without an additional cost to the Marine Corps. Well, if that's the case, then we can manage these USB devices then why not either A, extend the service life of the devices we already own, or B, replace them with a USB stick and let an individual bring his own device into the network? Because you're never hitting the individual's device. It's just the transport mechanism.
You talked about the beta for the mobile commercial mobile device. Is there a beta test as well for this USB secure client feature?
No, there's currently not a test planned for this. This is so far out of people's security parameters and concerns that it makes everybody's hair on the back of their neck bristle. But remember, I'm the vision and strategy guy, right? So I need to think outside the box, and the mandate that my boss, General Nally, has given to us is figure out IT efficiencies, figure out how we can save money, and I'm looking at that from a completely different perspective than most people.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This week, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO focusing on the Defense Department and mobile computing. My guest is Rob Anderson, the Chief of the Vision and Strategy Division in the Marine Corps, the Chief of the Vision and Strategy Division in the Marine Corps Command, Control, Communication, and Computers, or C4 office.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This week, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO focusing on the Defense Department and mobile computing. My first guest is Rob Anderson, the Chief of the Vision and Strategy Division in the Marine Corps' Command, Control, Communication, and Computers, or C4 office.
Let's talk about saving money now for a little bit, because that's another big driver here. If you can move money out of paying for voice and data and move it to readiness issues, yeah, to ammunition, to training, things of that nature, that's a huge savings. Talk about the goals there and how much money do you think you can save?
Based upon our current voice and data plans we have today, if 50% of those users would use their own personal device but download and use our organizational instance, we could save just about $5 million a year on voice and data plans.
And then you could take that money and put it to the readiness accounts.
Yes, so that money could either be A, used in other operations and maintenance expenses, fuel, training, ammunition, what have you. A portion of it could be actually used to manage those devices, right? So for the same cost, right, for that same $5 million, we could put another 85,000 devices on the network.
And that means that 85,000 soldiers, Marines, and civilians would have access, or just if you as Rob Anderson has a laptop and a cell phone, both of those would count among those 85,000?
Well, remember that this point that I'm making right now is on commercial mobile devices. It's not on desktops and laptops. So it would be the number of commercial mobile devices you could actually place on the network. So say, for example, I own an iOS phone and I own an iPad, and I'm authorized for two instances, then that would be two devices on the network. We haven't gone into the carriers pertaining to the licensing of those, but I would assume that they're going to want a one-for-one. You know, one device that they have their application on is a fee. Yeah, so per device.
And right now, you only have, what, about 11,000 devices?
Yes, we have 11,083 BlackBerries on the network today.
So opening it up to 60,000, 70,000 more devices is huge, because that means that the Marines or the civilians at different bases could have access to apps to make their lives easier. I mean, the goal is saving money, but it's also the efficiency.
Right. The entire approach to this is saving dollars. Now, there's an interesting conversation about the amount of value that I can get from an employee having access to his data all the time. As you know, Marines work 24/7, so they can be on it whenever they want. Government employees are only supposed to work 40 hours a week. Do we know that these people work more than 40 hours a week? Probably. If they have a commercial device, they probably would. So now we're talking about the FLSA, the Fair Labor Standard Act, I believe, or Fair Labor Services Act. So this brings up a whole completely different issue about gaining efficiencies pertaining to people being able to work while they're not at work. It's a very tricky issue, and it's one of the legal concerns that we have to address.
Now, the other thing you guys are doing around this whole idea of commercial devices and mobility is a survey Can you talk a little bit about that survey? What did you ask? Who did you ask? And when do you expect the results to come from that?
The intent of the survey is to check the pulse of all of our government employees and uniformed Marines on the appetite for using their own device. And what are those price points that they're willing to pay? Initially, we were looking at having individuals pay for this service, but once we realized, I've reviewed probably at least 1,000 pages of legal documents so far, and I've realized based upon a lot of the review that I've done is that the government has to pay for something. So we're not going to put that cost on the individual. But would an individual be willing to spend their money on their own voice and data plan in order to gain access to their personal organizational data? That's the key indicator, and that's really the pulse that we're trying to get is, you know, how many people in the Marine Corps would really do this? It'll be interesting to see what happens with it. It's based upon pay grade, you know, so there's a little tick mark on there. Am I a government employee? What's my pay grade? If I'm a Marine, what's my rank structure? And then we'll be able to identify trends based upon age groups associated with those pay grades.
What is the ultimate vision from where you sit as the chief strategist, as the person who can look, you know, 3, 5, 7 years down the road?
That's the next strategy document that I'm supposed to write for my boss. And what we're calling it is the 5-year transition plan. And there's two objectives inside the strategy. One is enabling a mobile workforce, and two is thinning the environment. Both of those actions will ideally achieve IT efficiencies in the future. But there's a tremendous amount of work that has to be done to achieve those things. Legal concerns. And we actually have to change expectations in how we do things as a government entity. A lot of people aren't comfortable with the things that I'm discussing and what I'm recommending as courses of action. As long as we satisfy the security requirements, though, and we keep the integrity of the data as well as the individual secure, I believe we can overachieve a lot of these concerns because of the downward pressure of the fiscal environment. If we can come up with a business case analysis and prove, if we do X, you will save Y amount of dollars over a period of time. I can't see how it's not a forcing function for our environment. You know, the Marine Corps is just one service, but if we can prove that we can do these types of things, then it could be a model for other people to actually emulate. And the entire federal space, we need to completely think differently on how to save money. IT efficiencies is not just a buzzword. IT efficiencies is not just a buzzword. It's a reality for the Marine Corps. We have been given a mandate through the Commandant of the Marine Corps. You have to figure out how to save money. You have to figure out how to do things more efficiently, Marine Corps. Think outside of the box. You know, move forward. And that's our goal.
From a strategy timing perspective, do you have a deadline of when the General Nally wants to get that done by?
The deadline for the personally owned corporate-enabled environment and whether it'll actually work, I think we can probably, once the pilot's done, I think Q2 15 is a reality for commercial mobile devices. I think for the for individuals being able to tie into the network with their own personal device pertaining to laptops, that's a longer pull in the tent. I would think maybe 17 or 18 could probably be a reality because there are so many policy issues that we have to address. And I haven't even gotten into my perspective about maybe creating some kind of IT allowance. That's a whole nother out of the box issue that just makes people cringe.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This week, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, focusing on the Defense Department and mobile computing. In the first part of the show, I was talking to Rob Anderson, the Chief of the Vision and Strategy Division in the Marine Corps C4 office. Now we'll switch to my conversation with Greg Yost, the Chief Mobility Engineer at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also...
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right, but did you know...
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about...
OMB's digital strategy.
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This week, we have a special edition of Ask the CIO, focusing on the Defense Department and mobile computing. We will continue our conversation now with Greg Yost, the Chief Mobility Engineer at the Defense Information Systems Agency.
Let's start with the mobile device management store, the app store, the things that you guys are doing to help DoD kind of push forward on mobile device management and mobile applications. Where are you guys at with some of these initiatives?
Right now, we are actually in the process of installing and going through our current field assessment to dot the I's and cross the T's on the configuration and operation of the mobile device management mobile application store so it meets and operates at the level of security and capability that we want to be at. And so for at this point in time, we are right now going to be operational within second quarter FY14. But I think relatively soon, and I can't give you a date because things are still sliding based on when we think we'll have those final configurations done and the security assessments finalized. So, but I can tell you it'll be relatively soon. That's about the ball I can tell you.
And how's this store at MDM going to work? It's going to be a service that DISA is providing, correct?
The basic concept, DISA is, you know, for all intents and purposes, if I want to provide it, a enterprise service provider. Like we do with our timekeeping with the defense travel system, it's a service. As well as when they come to us and they need a unclassified circuit, they order it. So this is, will be an order service where they come in, they go to our portal, our DDOE portal, which is our ordering system for circuits and services. They go in, they order, say they want to put 50 phones, they want to add 50 phones, they have to put in the name of the individual, their email address and items like that, and it goes through a process, and there's a whole process getting fine-tuned right now. It's not 100% done, but we're fine-tuning it, where it actually goes into a request, and then we provision the phones and everything else. You know, they provide their own phones. We're not buying them a phone, but they bring the phone and the service, but they're provisioned onto our MDM and mass service. And what happens is then they pay their organization, their DoD component, like the Army and Navy, they then pay us a monthly fee. What we call like a defense working, it's called the Defense Working Capital Fund. So it's no different from Verizon. Okay, it's like you buying a phone and going to, you know, the new thing with T-Mobile. You take a phone, you can take your phone and go over to T-Mobile, and they'll pay your fee for canceling your contract, and you're just buying the service. So it's no different from the carriers. They come to us to buy the service, and we provide a certain level of agreement of capability as well as management to them, and they pay us for that.
And is this going to be something that's mandatory across DoD, or again, you guys are going to have to compete with some of the other people, as you said, some of the commercial sector?
If you go look at the DoD CIO, the Commercial Mobile Devices Implementation Memorandum, I think that was in February, don't hold me to that. It actually states that the DoD CIO's goal or objective is to move all DoD components to the enterprise service, but it doesn't say when. So the point is the service can stand up their own MDM and do their own service if they decide to, and, you know, and provide it to their folks, or they'll be able to come to DISA. But at some point, they're going to have to provide a plan to DoD CIO, which is stated in the memorandum, that how are they going to migrate eventually to the enterprise, because it is DoD CIO's vision that we consolidate our services at an enterprise level, just like we are doing right now with the Joint Enterprise Information Enterprise, JIE, concept. So just, you know, so what we're doing follows the JIE.
So one of the things your office does beyond this MDM, Enterprise MDM and the mobile device application store, is you guys also have a mobility innovation center. You also look at customer outreach or some pilots. Can you go through a couple other things that you guys are working on?
We're trying to fill in the gaps right now where we want to move technology. Like, we're going to look at telecom expense management. So we're probably going to run a pilot on that. No, again, this is just all planning purposes. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. We're looking at app vetting. Which are the best app vetting tools we can run? We're also going to be looking at code wrapping and other investigations right now, because we have gaps we have to fill. So we want to do a technology analysis and then possibly move to a pilot. And then, you know, if feasible, at some point, then put out an RFI or RFP to fill that service in later on. But remember, part of the whole point of the pilot is we got to get smart in terms of what makes the most sense for our requirements for us and what needs to be in the RFP or RFI RFP, so we have a better way of actually stating what our needs are, so we can get a better product and implement it and put it into the service that meets our needs.
the other thing you guys are working on is a new roadmap. As you talked a little bit, it's going to be a 5-year roadmap, but it's going to be updated regularly. What's that going to kind of cover from a broad perspective?
What we did is we looked at a needs analysis for our roadmap. It looks across the board at device management, RF, applications, the needs of globalization and enterprise. So the roadmap itself is broken into various components, and already we've identified 56 subtasks already that have to be analyzed as part of the roadmap over the next 5 years. And again, technology changes so fast, we understand that we're going to have to update it, and we're going to actually put this roadmap into a database and have the various components of DISA that are responsible for those areas update that roadmap on an annual basis. And so it's not going to be a paper product, you know, right now it is, but we want to get to the point where we have a defined process that will then update that roadmap that we can then take to the director and says, here's what we want to do now for the next 5 years.
And the roadmap's going to outline how DoD or DISA specifically, I guess, is going to look at mobility, not necessarily security baseline, or it's not necessarily a, will there be specific areas that say, well, we're going to use mobility for time and attendance management, for instance. Give me a sense of the types of things this roadmap will address.
Roadmap will address things like the next generation MDM capabilities. Like, can the MDMs meet the new NIAP protection profile? Can the MDMs be able to operate in a cloud environment, in a level 5 secure cloud? So it's looking at actually technologies. It's not so much looking at individual specifics. It's actually defined across the board of the technology areas that affect mobility, like the next generation devices. Right now we have ongoing discussions with, you know, the OEMs on the glasses. Where does glasses fit into the future technology? Is there a capability that glasses can provide us down the road where a user, a flight line mechanic, can actually pull up a manual in his Google glasses and able to see the manual as he's physically looking at the plane? Those are great technology enhancers. So it's looking at where technology's mobility across the board, from apps to telecom expense management to actually looking at our risk and network. One of the things we want to be able to do is look at automated network analysis for mobility. That's something we don't have now, but that's something we want. It's one of the 56 tasks. So it's looking at what we can do to make it easier, quicker, cheaper, and more effective.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. This week we had a special edition of Ask the CIO, focusing on the Defense Department and mobile computing. My guests this week were Greg Yost, the Chief Mobility Engineer at the Defense Information Systems Agency, and Rob Anderson, the Chief of the Vision and Strategy Division in the Marine Corps Command, Control, Communication, and Computers, or C4 office.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.